नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोक्य भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी विश्वानंदते देवी प्रणामामि। ओके, लेट्स चैंट द वर्सेस 16 ऑनवर्ड्स। किम कर्म किम अकर्मेति कवयोपि यत्र मोहितः तत्ते कर्म प्रवक्ष्यामि यज्ञात्वा मोक्षसे शुभात् कर्मणो हि अपि बोद्धव्यम् बोद्धव्यं च विकर्मणः अकर्मणश्च बोद्धव्यम् गहना कर्मणो गतिः कर्मण्यकर्म यः पश्येत् अकर्मणि च कर्म यः स बुद्धिमान् मनुष्येषु संयुक्तः कृत्स्नकर्मकृत् यस्य सर्वे समारम्भः कामसङ्कल्पवर्जितः ज्ञानाग्निदग्धकर्माणम् तमाहुः पण्डितं बुधः त्यक्त्वा कर्म फलासङ्गम् नित्यतृप्तो निराश्रयः कर्मण्ये अभिप्रवृत्तोऽपि नैव किञ्चित् करोति सः। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
राम राम हरे हरे।
ओके, टेक्स्ट 16। इवन द इंटेलिजेंट आर बिविल्डर्ड इन डिटरमाइनिंग व्हाट इज एक्शन एंड व्हाट इज इनएक्शन। नाउ आई शैल एक्सप्लेन टू यू व्हाट एक्शन इज, knowing which you shall be liberated from all misfortune. Yes, so what is karma, what is akarma, what is vikarma? Gita talks about three things: karma, akarma and vikarma. So what is karma and what is akarma? So even the intelligent, Krishna says, are bewildered. Like, let's talk about karma and vikarma first. Karma and akarma we'll talk about later. So karma means good deeds, activities, helping somebody, helping the needy, the distressed, providing water, food, whichever way. So karma and akarma, it is very difficult. The scriptures give us general guidelines. This is good, this is bad. But the intricacies, the details, if you want to understand, we have to have a shelter of a guru. Because a guru, proper guru, knows how to apply the scriptural rules and regulations according to time, place and circumstances. Because according to time, place and circumstances, according to the consciousness of a person, sometimes a pious activity turns out to be impious and the impious becomes pious. So therefore that guidance is needed to understand the details. Like there was a king of the name Riga, it is this story is there in Srimad Bhagavatam. He was very charitable, extremely charitable. I mean the amount of charity he did. It is said if one could count the number of grains on this earth, a number of trees, a number of water droplets in the water bodies, one could get an idea how much charity he did. So once he gave a cow in charity to a Brahmana, that cow came back and again went to the cowshed of the king. It got mixed with the other cows. The king didn't know. And when he was distributing charity again to the Brahmanas, this cow also went along. So this cow was already given in charity to somebody. Now it's being given in charity to somebody else. Now that should not happen. Like if you have received some charity from somebody, now person who has given cannot take it back and cannot definitely give it to somebody. So it was a mistake, but unintentional. So when he was giving this cow in charity to the second Brahmana, the first Brahmana came. He said, oh, this cow belongs to me. You gave it to me. You cannot take it away. You cannot give it to him. So I want it back. And the other Brahmana said, no, I have received it as charity. I cannot give it back. So the king knew, kuch to gadbad hai yahan par. So the king said, all right. He told the first Brahmana, I'll give you 1,000 cows in charity in exchange for this one cow. Leave it. Aisa kaliyug mein hota to they would have agreed immediately. But the Brahmanas were real Brahmanas. They were not greedy. He said, no. I don't want 1,000 cows. I just want my share, my property. I don't want anything else. The other Brahmana was not ready. This Brahmana was not ready. And the king was caught. So eventually what happened? Both the Brahmanas, they went away disappointed and kind of offended. So as a result of this offense, which was done unintentionally, even though he was doing a lot of pious activity, it is explained, this king, when he had to take the body of a lizard in his next life, a giant lizard. So when he was taken in front of Yamaraj, Yamaraj said, the amount of enjoyment that you have in store is unbelievable. But you also have to suffer for this mistake. So what do you want first? He said, first I want to suffer for whatever mistake I have done. So he became a big lizard. And it was at the time of Krishna when he was there in Dwarka. So Krishna's sons were playing with their other children in a forest. They felt thirsty. They came to a well. When they looked down, they saw this big lizard was struggling. So they tried to bring her up, but they couldn't. Then they went to Krishna. So Krishna came and he stretched his hand and immediately pulled out the lizard. For him, it's not difficult. And when this lizard came out, Krishna, because of the touch of Krishna, this lizard's all karmic reaction finished. And a very beautiful, effulgent personality appeared in that place. So Krishna knew everything. He told the person anyways, "Why? How did you get the body of a lizard? You seem to have a very highly elevated personality." So he explained the whole story. He said, although Krishna, you know everything, but I know you are asking to teach a lesson. So he was doing so much good, so much karma. Karma is good deeds. But unintentional mistake also brought him a reaction. And it ended up becoming impious deed, a vikarma. Consciousness or whatever the time, place, circumstances ke hisab se, things become difficult. Like killing is bad. But Krishna forced Arjuna to kill because in that state, that was his duty and that was required. And if he had not fought, that would have been sin. Although fighting, killing is sin, but in this situation, so therefore we need some guidance to actually guide us whether what is good and what is bad. We can't decide on our own. So now question could be, but it's okay, that person became a lizard, but eventually he got the darshan of Krishna. Krishna personally saved him, and he regained his original effulgent body. No, that was not the case. So karma he was doing, and it ended up in vikarma to some extent. But there was one akarma which he had done, which became the cause of his deliverance or liberation. What is that? What was that? So since he was very charitable, so he had the habit of giving charity to whoever came. So one fine day, as many people used to come, so one Vaishnava came, a devotee came to his court. He's the king. And some scriptures mention that he needed some money to build a temple, and some mention he needed a copy of Bhagavatam, devotional scripture. And the king, it was his habit to give, he gave it. And unknowingly done, devotional service to a devotee became the cause of his being saved by Krishna personally. And they are knowingly done so much good deeds, unintentional mistake, and he had to suffer. In the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Neha Vikramanashivasti Pratyavayona Vidyate Sva Alpamapi Asya Dharmasya Trayate Mahato Bhayat. That on this path of devotional service, there is no loss or diminution. Even a little advancement on this path will protect you from the greatest fears in life. When you need it the most, your spiritual credits will come to protect you. So when we perform pious activities, which is karma, so when we perform impious activities, which is vikarma, we get degraded. When we perform pious activities, we get elevated. We might go to heavenly planets next, where maybe result in good birth, but the cycle of birth and death continues. So when we perform pious activities, we get elevated. And when we perform devotional activities, like this, like the one we are performing or chanting, hearing about the Lord directly, or giving something in the service of the Lord directly, then we get liberated. So if we perform impious activity, papa, we get degraded. Good activities, we get elevated. But when we perform devotional activity, that's when we get liberated. Liberation doesn't just mean after we die, no. Even while living, any amount of service done to the Lord, it has the potency to purify us from the sinful reactions. It can nullify the sinful reactions, and it can nullify the distress which is due in the future because of our past sins, knowingly or unknowingly done. So bhakti can actually destroy our distress, because karma, one is called prarabdha. Prarabdha means which is manifest at the moment in the form of some distress, legal implication, chronic disease, whatever. And then there is a prarabdha which is waiting to manifest. And we don't know how much is there in store. We don't know really how much distress is in store. So what do? That is why we need God's presence in our life. That is why we need that spiritual connection. That's why we need to chant. And because these activities can nullify that distress which is due. We don't know how much stock is there. We don't need to know also. We rather focus on the solution. Okay, what to do? Do this, Baba. We can do that. That's why people ask, why do we need God? Some people don't even pay attention. Because if somebody says, no, I'm just happy the way I am. But you can't stay like that forever. Situations keep changing. Somebody says, oh, I don't care about it. I'm just so happy and blissful. But we can't be, even if we are happy now, even if we have whatever we want, the nature of this world is, nothing is permanent, things keep changing. It won't stay like this forever. Pichle mars se pehle kaun bol sakta tha ki aisa kuch aayega, humko ghar mein baith ke aisa rehna padega. Mumbai ke log ghar mein baith hi nahi sakte. I mean, people in Mumbai, I don't know about other cities, wo to baith hi nahi sakte ghar pe. सबको अंदर बिठा दिया है, किसने सोचा था ऐसा. सो पीपल हु आर प्राउडली थिंक दे डोंट नीड गॉड, दे आर जस्ट हैप्पी एंड फ्लरिशिंग विदाउट हिम, जस्ट वेट, बिकॉज थिंग्स डोंट स्टे द सेम ऑलवेज. एंड व्हेन थिंग्स डू कीप चेंजिंग, एंड व्हेन दे चेंज, वी नीड दैट इनर स्ट्रेंथ, वी नीड ब्लेसिंग्स विच कैन एक्चुअली सेव अस, एंड इट कैन सेव अस फ्रॉम फ्यूचर डिस्ट्रेस ऑल्सो. बिकॉज some type of karma is manifesting now, some is already manifested in the past, some will manifest in the future. Just to save ourselves, just to be happy, we need God. We need that connection. Even a slight connection with the Lord will protect us from the greatest dangers in life. Even a slight connection. So that's what Krishna is saying. It is very difficult to understand the intricacies. So we need guidance all the time, because sometimes what we think is piety may not be actually piety, may not be pious. And something which is impious may not be impious, it may be pious. So to understand that, we need... So spiritually, we are all immature at the moment. All of us. And therefore, we need to be guided. It's like children. Till they grow up to a certain point, they need constant guidance. Bas, jab wo teenagers ban jate hain, then they think they know everything. But at least 16, 17 tak to they all need proper guidance, discipline. Even if they think that they know everything, even if they think that you are interfering too much. Because when children enter into their teens, overnight they become smart, they become intelligent and think my parents are, they don't know anything. They don't know me, why are they bothering me? Overnight. That's the age, 13 to 16, very delicate. Because that's when all the past impressions, inclinations, they start popping up. And scriptures say, 12 years tak, anything the child does, he is not held responsible for that. Nor karma for that. Because 12 years tak, it's like total innocence. 12 ke baad actually, wo, the past intelligence, inclination, the aspiration, desire, they start manifesting. That's when the karma comes into picture. So that's when they need more guidance.
Abhijit, I have a question.
Ji.
If you say that, then
pardon?
You explain
pardon?
Babies and children who are terminally ill, and you're saying that the karma doesn't play a role, right?
Hmm.
But how do you explain, you know, children and small babies who are terminally ill and they have all these health issues? How does that, I mean, how do you explain
no,
that?
No, what I'm saying is, from 1 to 12, whatever children do, they're not held responsible for that activity.
Okay.
And those who are born with disease, terminally ill, it's past karma. So yesterday I gave a lecture. I think you all can listen to that. I'll share that on the chat. Weekend wisdom, is everything predestined? So there I have answered all these questions. So I can share that. Maybe it is of some help to all of you.
Yeah,
that's where I shared all these points yesterday. Because this is a big question, is everything predestined? So everything is discussed. So I also mentioned that just because we know it is somebody's karma doesn't mean that we become callous. It's his karma. And then we'll get more karma. Because we have the ability to help somebody and we are not helping. So even though it is somebody's karma, but still it's our karma, our duty to help somebody. If we have the capacity to help. Like the doctors cannot say, hey patients, it's their karma, Baba. Because doctors, if they don't do their duty, they will get karma. So, it's a process to understand what is action, what is inaction. And if we can understand this, then we are liberated from all misfortune, Krishna says. The intricacies of action are very hard to understand. Therefore, one should properly know what action is, what forbidden action is, and what inaction is. So what is action, and what is inaction, and what is forbidden action? Three. So karma means good deeds, forbidden action means bad deeds, sinful activities. And we all know what they are. Right? We don't need to go into details. But forbidden action, we all know what it is. And what is inaction? Inaction is a karma. That means activities performed in relation to God. And how does akarma work? Why we need to engage in akarma on a regular basis? Because even if you're doing good deeds, number one, the benefits are temporary. Number two, even if you do it nicely, you at max get elevated to heavenly planet, then come back here only. Idhar hi ghumna padega fir. Again take another body, again birth, old age, disease, death, miseries continue. Number three, a small mistake can bring a lot of misery, like this king, even unintentionally, because there's no protection in that. And then forbidden action, a person really suffers in this life and aage bhi. And a karma mein kya hota hai, when you're doing a karma, like what we are doing every week for half an hour, 45, this is a karma. It does not produce any reaction. There's no karma being produced here. Otherwise, good or bad, anything you do, there is some reaction, and which binds us to the cycle of transmigration, the cycle of birth and death. But a karma, it does not produce any future karma. Plus, it nullifies the previous karma, which can cause distress in future. Simple activity like we are sitting, it is nullifying the previous karma. And it also elevates us, moves us towards liberation. So isn't it the best thing to do? Ultimately, why? What do we want in life? We want to be happy. And what stops us from becoming happy? Problems. What is the root cause of problems? Karma. If bhakti destroys karma, automatically problems will be gone and we'll be happy. So why do we need to practice spirituality? Why do we perform bhakti? To be happy. That's it. And as I always say, it's a life of connection, not rejection. Kuch chhodna hai nahi hai. Aapko sirf jodna hai is life mein. Like since the time we have started, have I ever told you, give up your work, don't go to Dubai, don't go here, don't go to hospital, don't do this? Nahin, I've never said. I just said, let's add this, keep adding. Because eventually, what saves us from the reaction to our good or bad deeds is our devotional credits, not even pious credits. Our devotional credits, our spiritual credits, anything done in relation to God, that saves us. Karmanne akarma yah pashyed akarmani cha karma yah sabuddhiman manushyeshu sayuktah krishna karma krit. One who sees inaction in action and action in inaction is intelligent among men, and he is in the transcendental position, although engaged in all sorts of activities. So, one who sees in action, a karma in karma, and action in inaction, is intelligent among men, and he is in the transcendental position, although engaged in all sorts of activities. I'll just read the purport to just further clarify this. It needs some clarification. Ek second, I'll put up the purport. Let's see if the purport clarifies, otherwise I'll explain. Okay. A person acting in Krishna consciousness is naturally free from the bonds of karma. His activities are all performed for Krishna. Therefore, he does not enjoy or suffer any of the effects of work. Consequently, he is intelligent in human society, even though he is engaged in all sorts of activities for Krishna. A karma means without reaction to work. The impersonalist ceases fruitive activities out of fear, so that the resultant action may not be stumbling block on the path of self-realization. But the personalist knows rightly his position as the eternal servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, he engages himself in the activities of Krishna consciousness. Because everything is done for Krishna, he enjoys only transcendental happiness in the discharge of his service. Those who are engaged in this process are known to be without desire for personal sense gratification. The sense of eternal servitorship to Krishna makes one immune to all sorts of reactionary elements of work. Okay, did you all understand anything from this? Any little idea? Anything that you could make out what is being said here? Okay, I'll explain. Theek hai. So it is basically talking about a person who is devoted to the culture of devotional service. So a person who is acting, a person who is God conscious, he is acting in this world, there is action, but he is not acting for himself. When does the law of karma begin to act upon a living entity? It is explained that when the living entity tries to live a life independent of God, the law of karma starts acting. And when the living entity begins to cooperate with the will of the Lord, turns his face towards God, the law of karma ceases to act. So that means a person who is God conscious, Krishna conscious, is acting in this world, but since he's not acting for his own self, he's acting for the pleasure of the Lord, he's keeping the Lord's pleasure, he acts according to the scriptural injunctions and lives his life as per the desire of the Lord. So even though he's acting, even though there is action, but still inaction, that means there is no reaction to his work. Even though there is action, but there is no reaction. So it is as good as not acting also. It is as good as akarma. Or it is akarma only. There is action, but there is no action. Understood? Because every action has an equal and opposite reaction. But a person who is God conscious, acting according to those principles, he acts, but there is no reaction. So he is free. He becomes free. And any person who can see like that, action in inaction, in action, that he is acting but there is no reaction. So it is as good as no activity being performed. And action in inaction. So it's the same thing being spoken in just two ways. So he's working but there's no reaction. Because he's acting for the pleasure of the Lord. He's connected. That's how a person who acts in Krishna consciousness, God consciousness, he does not produce any reaction. And therefore he's safe. Because as long as the cycle of karma continues, we have to keep coming back here. In the world of birth, old age, disease, death. Chalta rahega and the misery will continue. That's why we need to get connected to the Lord. Yasya sarve samarambha kama sankalpa varjitaha jnanakni dagdha karmanam tamahu panditam buddha. One is understood to be in full knowledge whose every endeavor is devoid of desire for sense gratification. That means free from selfishness. Everybody is working for himself. But if you see the bigger picture, Krishna says in the 15th chapter, Mame Vansho Jeeva Loke Jeeva Bhuta. We are all children of God. So imagine children who are not serving their parents at all. What would they be called as? Ungrateful? And that's what most of the people are. Eventually our ultimate relationship is there with the Lord. We should not forget that. Yes, we have relationships in this world, but why? How can we forget our eternal father, eternal mother? So that we also have a sense of duty, we have a duty towards him. So we need to start acting in that relationship also, serving him. So any person whose endeavor, every endeavor is devoid of sense, desire for personal sense gratification, he is understood to be in full knowledge, he is a real jnani, real knowledgeable person. He has no reactions because now the Lord is in the picture. He is said by sages to be a worker for whom the reactions of work have been burned up by the fire of perfect knowledge. And one more verse will do. Tyaktva karma phala sangam nitya tripto nirashrayah karmanya abhipravritto api naiva kinchit karoti sah. Abandoning all attachment to the results of his activities, ever satisfied and independent, he performs no fruitive action, although engaged in all kinds of undertakings. So what is the result? Then if he is working in this consciousness, in this connection, so a part of that is since he is working for the pleasure of the Lord, that naturally means he is not attached to the results of his work. Isn't it? Because the result is in his hands. The only thing within our hand is effort. So we have to remember that in God's service there is nothing called failure. We just have to try our best, and everyone's capacity is different. We just have to try and serve the Lord in our own capacity with whatever time and energy and resources we have. So a person who is acting in this consciousness, since he is acting for the pleasure of the Lord, so how can he be attached to the results? Because good or bad, everything is decided by the Lord, he is happy. So in spiritual life, there is nothing called failure. The effort decides how much mercy we'll get, not the result. Our advancement in spiritual life is dependent on effort, not the result. If we have tried our best, then we get 100 out of 100. Effort is the key, not the result. But in this world, unless you get the result, you're not considered a successful person. But spiritual mathematics culture is totally different. So abandoning all attachment to the results of his activities, because it's just working for the Lord's pleasure, ever satisfied and independent, he performs no fruitive action. That means there is no reaction in his work, although he is engaged in all kinds of work undertakings. So there is a lot of difference. A person in the outside world, somebody who is a devotee, who is not a devotee, they may seem to be similar appearance. Two people may be working in the same office, same post. But both of them, the result that they might get will be totally different because of their consciousness. Somebody is working in divine consciousness will have a different result. And somebody, activity externally might be same, but one's activity, because he's conscious of God all the time. So if we can remember the Lord while we are engaged in our worldly duties, then every act of ours becomes free from karma. So a person who is working with divine consciousness, he will not get any reaction. A similar person working next to him will get a reaction. Both might have a different result depending on how evolved they are spiritually. So to essentially, if I confused you enough, try to understand just this simple point, that karma, akarma, vikarma. Just summary. And next few verses also will talk about this only. Akarma means you do the work, but you're not attached to the results. So that purifies you. And then one step higher actually goes direct devotional service to the Lord, which actually liberates us. That's even more purifying and powerful. So karma, akarma, vikarma. Intricacies we cannot understand. Good deeds, bad deeds, we all are engaged in good and bad deeds, both produce karma, karmic reaction, both bind us to the cycle of birth and death. But when we perform a karma, a person is more satisfied, he's not attached to the results, and he gets elevated. So just remember this, if you perform sinful activity, we get degraded. If we perform pious activities, we get elevated. And if we perform a karmic activities in relation to God, then we get liberated. So don't worry if you don't understand some of these verses, but the essence needs to be understood, what Krishna is talking about here. What is akarma? Understand what is karma, what is vikarma. And I explained the benefits of performing akarma, how it purifies the heart, how it frees us from the distress which is due in future. It nullifies the previous karma, does not produce any future karma, and it elevates, liberates us. And that is why we need to engage in activities which are directly connected to God. Apart from pious activities, we also need to engage in devotional activities. Because our spiritual credits, devotional credits only, will save us from the reaction to the past sins, which might manifest in various forms of distress. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. I'll stop here. Any questions? Anything? Theek hai. So we'll end here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. We'll see you next week.
Yes.